Good day, good people. It is another edition of the Cool Sore Podcast. I hope you are putting a smile on your face. Yes, because you are alive and well, and for that, you should be thankful. Today, we are joined by a Cool Sore of Delta Sigma Theta, Dr. Candace White Jackson. Yes, we went to school together. We were both student athletes at Florida A&M University. I know, fam, you is a recurring theme here on the Cool Sore Podcast, but I'm sorry, guys. Greatness comes out of FAMU. Laughs, jokes, all that good stuff, whatever, but I mean it. Again, if you have suggestions for cool people, please make sure you email us, cool@coolsore.com, or any suggestions for people that you think we should showcase. Dr. Candace White is a primary care physician. She was also a track athlete at FAMU. She was Miss FAMU from 1998 to 1999. And her chapter just did something pretty monumental at this year's homecoming, which is why I wanted somebody from the Beta Alpha chapter to come on the Cool Sore Podcast to talk about the now $140,000 donation that they gave to the university, but they presented a $125,000 check at halftime during homecoming, which I thought was just phenomenal. So I had to get someone on from the chapter to talk about it. Although we talk primarily about her and her life, we are talking about that amazing donation as well. And here is Being on the Front Line with Dr. Candace White Jackson. Enjoy.
You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all.
I am a cool soror of
What's up y'all? I'm a cool soror of
Hi, I am a cool soror of
Podcast hosted by me, Rashawn Ali.
It is another awesome edition of the Cool Sore Podcast, and you know you got to get the folks that you love and you know on your podcast. I love interviewing people that I'm getting to know, but it's always good to talk to the folks that you've come up with, and I definitely have come up with this beautiful student athlete. We were student athletes together at Florida A&M University. She was on the track team. I was on the swim team. She's a Delta. I'm an AKA. It's all beautiful. Candace White Jackson joins the Cool Sore Podcast. And as I mentioned, you are a cool soror of
Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated.
Welcome to the show, my lady. How are you?
I am great. How are you today?
I am doing fabulously well. And I know you are doing well. You are a new mommy. Like, yes. How old is the baby? Just a month old?
Yes, he is just over a month old, and I'm trying to get my snap back right.
Oh, honey, you got that snap back because I did see pictures at homecoming, and you looked amazing. Come on, snap back. It's the track body. It's really the track body.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about you from Gainesville, Florida. Did you always have dreams of going to FAMU? Was that always your big dream?
You know what? My sister was actually at Florida A&M University in the nursing program. Okay. And all my life, I had grown up being in predominantly white schools. Mm-hmm. So when I actually went to visit her for a homecoming, life was forever changed. I said, oh, my goodness. This is a chocolate mecca. You have people that look like me who are just as intelligent as me. And I was so inspired. And that basically changed my life. And from there, moving on, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to go at it, fam.
Yeah. Were you always interested in medicine? Is this something that was, you know, because usually when children is like, hey, what do you want to be? Did you always say, I want to be a doctor?
Always. As early as the age of five, I was always fixing boo-boos, thought I was the boss of everybody in terms of health and wellness. And I want to say it really came into perspective when my grandmother, at the age of 13, I saw her suffer with cancer. Mm-hmm. It was all over her body. She was in the hospital. And when the doctors would come in, I just felt they lacked compassion. You know, you got 5 weeks to live. And, you know, it was just really horrible. And I never saw anyone who looked like us. So I knew that at that point, that was something that I needed to make a mission.
Yeah. And so you went straight to FAMU and you did the pre-med. You went all the way in.
Oh, I went all the way in. But you know what? It wasn't a straight path because even after FAMU, I went to grad school. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to be stronger. I wanted to be a stronger candidate. I wanted to just really know medicine front and back and just be strengthened. So I actually took some time off in between.
Right. So what was that time off like for you? Was that a time for you to just kind of be a little bit more introspective or trying to figure out what exactly the path would be next?
I think it was a bit of both, okay. because there is a, you know, a low percentage of African Americans and minorities that are even admitted into medical school. Mm-hmm. So I knew that it was highly competitive. So I wanted my package to be tight. Mm-hmm. I needed to make sure that the grades were there, the standardized test scores were there, and then also just having that research experience so that they would say, hey, you know what, there's no way we can deny this one.
Right.
And so that's what I did.
Right, yeah. right. Mm-hmm. And so you did all of that, and then you said, okay, I think that I'm ready. How did you know, at what moment did you know that you were ready?
It was God. You know, I really had to wait on God, because based on my timeline, it would have been done right after FAMU. Mm-hmm. But God said, you know, there's more work to do. So with that being stated, I just set out a plan. And when I initiated and executed that plan at that time, he said, okay, it's time. And so that was going to Indiana University School of Medicine to get a master's in medical sciences. After that, I did an internship at Case Western School of Medicine. And then thereafter, I did some coursework at the University of Florida. It was a standpoint where they said, hey, we don't do post-baccalaureate students. You can't come here. Well, I audited the courses. And because those instructors saw me there every day,
wow.
they said, you know what? We're going to give you these grades on a transcript because you've earned them.
Oh my
gosh.
So
I got grades that they said that they didn't offer. I earned those grades. And then I applied to med school. And then the rest was history.
Oh, my gosh. Where do you get your work ethic from?
You know, I think my parents were the type to always say, you know, nothing in this world will be given to you easy. It's going to be work,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so just seeing them not only going to work, taking care of us, but being so involved in the community and always being willing to sacrifice,
right.
that just, you know, ingrained in me. So, you know, it was just something that came naturally.
It came
for
naturally.
Me.
Did track come naturally for you too? I know I'm bouncing around, but when did you become introduced to track? And do you think that being an athlete has played a role in who you have become as a woman as well?
Amen to that. Yes.
Yes.
You have to have that work ethic when you are an athlete and you're balancing student, you know, being a student and having to go to meets, because track is a year long. You go from cross country all the way to indoor to outdoor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never really truly have a break. So you really have to be able to balance. And it really teaches you how to manage your time.
Right.
So I would definitely say that played a key role in me being able to even pursue medicine, you know, knowing that you're going to have wins, you're going to have losses, and how to lose gracefully, but get back up when you do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was definitely key with me being successful in medicine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now fast forward back to you're in medical school. Was there ever any time where it became so overwhelming that you questioned the path, or you always knew this was it?
You know what? I always knew that it was it. However, it is such an arduous journey. I mean, there were times where, you know, you're up 24 hours, you're studying for exams, because the workload is massive.
Yeah.
Imagine like four encyclopedias in one on one exam. Remember too that it's unfortunate that we are not really reared, and when I say we minorities, to just always be taking standardized exams.
Yes.
It's just not how it is. And so you have all these board exams that you have to do, step one, step mm-hmm. two, step three. I mean, you have to do your board exam for if you want to be a board certified physician for whatever specialty you go in.
Right.
So it's never ending. And so in med school, I made it a point to just really try to get a great foundation in everything that I was learning, so that when it came down to those standardized exams, I would be successful. But yes, it was very, very challenging.
Yeah.
But God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And now, you know, you're a primary care physician, and you could have gone so many different ways. You could have studied, you know, something yeah. way out there, but you yeah. decided that primary care was the thing that you loved most. Why was that?
You know what? You know, being on the front line, like I stated before, growing up, I never saw many individuals that look like me. And when I see our community being ravaged by diabetes and hypertension and heart disease and breast cancer, colon cancer, these are all things that are really preventable if you learn how to live a healthier lifestyle. So I knew that we needed someone to advocate for us.
Right.
And all my life, I've always been in the community doing health fairs. And I also have a master's in public health, because I believe that you know, preventing the disease before it actually gets to that point would be a huge way to help our communities stay healthy. Right. So primary care was the way to do that. And I've been able to have a great impact.
Right. Absolutely. And you have founded your own organization, White Light Wellness Organization. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So White Light Wellness has always been something that's been in my heart that I really hope that I can make a foundation eventually. But it's geared towards empowering and enlightening young adults through the promotion of public health, mentorship, scholarship. For instance, I have 4 mentees at Spelman currently who are science and math majors who desire to be physicians. So, you know, we get together, try to get together once a month, once every other month, nice. If we can't do it monthly. And we actually talk about, you know, what it takes and preparation. Mm-hmm. Provide meals for them. I take them out in the community with me when I go to health fairs and speaking engagements, and right. they're very involved with it. Yes. And then I also created a scholarship for my church where any individual who's interested in health and sciences, especially, of course, medicine, that they would be able to qualify for a $500 scholarship towards the advancement of their education.
I love it. That's fantastic. Really quickly, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, your time at FAMU and being a student athlete. How would, you know, I know how I balanced it all, but how did you find the balance being a track star, being in the sorority? We'll get to Beta Alpha in just a second, but how did you find the balance? Because I know how I did. And I used to look at people like, man, they get to go hang out and have to go to practice.
Yes. You know what? It's just prioritizing. Right. I knew what I was there for. Yes, I was there on a full track scholarship, but I knew that academics also came first. Mama and Daddy did not play that. Okay.
Right,
so.
Right.
I knew that when I had to practice in the morning, when we had 2-a-days, 6 a.m., I had to go to classes, come home. I would do that power nap, take my power nap, get up, you know, and I would study.
Yeah.
And I used an organizer to kind of keep me on track with, the you know, how you go through and you write on your calendar, here's my exam. It's in 2 weeks.
Right.
I need this amount of time each week to keep up with it. And granted, yes, it was tough. And granted, I did have several all-nighters, but you know, my priorities were always in line, and I made sure to also have a little fun when I could. But
yeah.
I was for academics and for track and field, so guess what? Everything else was secondary.
I mean, it's very difficult to manage, and then we were, you know, then we're popular, and then you try to manage that part.
Right, I know, right? Because you got to have a life. And
you
I always tell people, yeah, you want to definitely be dedicated to what you're doing, but it's that well-rounded individual who's going to be the most successful, because you don't want to just have somebody who, okay, yeah, they're getting the grade, but the minute, you know, that grade doesn't come to that A+, they losing their minds. You
right.
know, you got to be able to have that balance and say, you know what? Maybe it wasn't an A. It might have been an A- this time or a B+, but guess what? I gave it my all.
Right.
And I moved on. Yeah.
Are you? I'm sure you're able to impart that type of knowledge on the students that you mentor now.
Oh, absolutely. I let them know that at the end of the day, you know, when you're coming up, you think, oh, I just got to have all those straight A's. Well, actually, no. What you need to make sure is that you're having a good foundation, whatever it is that you're learning, and being able to apply that, as well as being able to network and be a good person and be dependable and reliable. I mean, there's so much more to it than just making the grade. We want you to be a good, well-rounded person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, mm-hmm.
So let's get into this. Of course, in the fall of 1996, you became a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. Now, did Delta Sigma Theta choose you, or did you choose Delta Sigma Theta?
I think it was a bit of both. You know, you go on campus, and I saw, you know, Miss FAMU, and Miss FAMU at that time, she happened to be a Delta, and I just really loved how she carried herself with so much poise and grace, and I just loved how, you know, it just seemed like our chapters were just so involved, and they were the ones that were running SGA, and they were the ones that were doing so well in their classwork as well as in the community. So that just really had a lasting impression upon me. And so I chose the Beta Alpha DST way.
Nice, nice, nice. Now, I know Fall 96, you all are, I mean, I'm close to that line too, even though I'm an AKA, but I know that all of you are very, very close. You still close to a lot of your line sisters?
Oh my goodness, yes. Like a lot of us, you know, a few of us were able to make it back, but you know, we celebrated a 20 year in Costa Rica, and we pretty much had majority of our line almost that were able to make it. So that was a beautiful thing. And we definitely do a great job of supporting one another, and you know, every walks of our life. It's a beautiful thing to have.
Absolutely. That sister. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, so fine. 29. How did you get a 29? Oh, so fine. How'd you get that?
Well, did you see those legs? You just said track star. Hello. I'm just playing. So it is an honor to be a 29. Oh, so fine. Because not only do these ladies represent the scholarship service in excellence, but, you know, we do have that body to go with it. Hello. You know, that well-rounded hip action.
Let me stop. No, it's all good, baby. You got to flaunt it, honey. You got to flaunt it. I love it.
Silly.
So really a phenomenal moment during homecoming weekend. I wasn't there to see it, but I saw it on Facebook when your chapter raised and donated $125,000 to Florida A&M University, particularly for female students, future students, and current students as well. First of all, congratulations on doing such a monumental thing as you celebrated the 80th anniversary of the Beta Alpha chapter of Delta Sigma Theta. Tell us how that all came about and the moment you all were able to give, what that felt like.
Oh, my goodness. So that was just a huge moment for the chapter. And it was a blessing and honor to even be a part of it. Because right. As you know, a lot of the HBCUs, this record has shown that in regards to giving back, that percentage is very low.
Right.
And speaking of which, even at FAMU, that percentage is like less than 5%.
Wow.
So, you know, it really was a hope that we could foster the spirit of giving,
mm-hmm.
you know, and also, even though it was $125,000 at homecoming, we've actually collected $140,000 thus far.
Wow.
We're still counting. And this vision actually came about by Carla Taylor of Spring 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And also her partnership with my line sister, Kristen Harper.
Okay.
With me in fall 96. And they pretty much came together and stated, you know, it started at let's just raise $80,000 because it's going to be our 80-year reunion.
Right.
But, you know, we show up and we show out, and they created basically three levels of giving where you could give $500, $1,000, or $2,200.
Mm-hmm.
We had two co-chairs and one line champion of each line to communicate with, you know, the line sisters and encourage the giving. And when I tell you, they partnered with the foundation, kept us abreast of how much money we were raising and kind of created a healthy competition amongst the lines.
Beautiful.
It was fun, it fantastic, and the outcome was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It brought chills to me. I mean, I thought that it was such a beautiful moment, such a beautiful moment. I congratulate each and every one of you. So thank you so much for what you are doing for future students at Florida A&M University. And it's an example. I mean, it will charge other chapters. It will charge my chapter. It'll charge Beta Nu. It'll charge, you know, Alpha Z. And I think I truly am grateful for what you all did. And so many students will benefit from it.
Oh, amen. Yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Got to give back.
Absolutely. And so currently you are in when did you move? So how long have you been in Atlanta now?
You know what? I've actually only been here a little over 1 year.
Right.
And it has been a whirlwind. So many amazing things have occurred since I've been here in such a short time. But I'm in the Lathonia Stone Mountain area,
mm-hmm.
at a practice that was acquired by DeKalb Medical.
Okay.
It's called Lathonia Primary Care.
Mm-hmm.
The other doctor who works with me is Dr. Carmen Eccles. We have a PA named Ebonique Pilot. And we also have a physician assistant. And we have a nurse practitioner, Miss
mm-hmm.
Susan Lee, who also works with us, and we just have a great time together serving the community.
Nice. And so, but you were in, weren't you in, were you in LA? Were you in the, you were on the West
South
Coast?
Florida. I was actually in South Florida. Yeah.
I don't know why I thought you were in LA. I have no idea why I thought you were
there. Because my best friend,
okay.
April, has been back and forth, but no, I was in South Florida, basically the Miami, Fort Lauderdale area for the past almost 7 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And God just called me back to Georgia. So
nice.
I came on.
Nice. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, ma'am, I am so very grateful that you took a little bit of time out of your busy schedule being a new mom, because you're on maternity leave right now, which is great. What's the greatest part about being a mom? so far?
You know what? Oh, my goodness. Seeing his face, feeling his hands and his toes. You know, you dream about them before they even get here. Uh-huh. My husband and I actually talked about this little boy almost for about 5 years. I was one of those people who just felt like I just had to have everything done and everything in order before I felt like I was ready to have, you know, my first child. Mm-hmm. And when we got to the point where we felt we were ready, it was just such a beautiful blessing to see his face,
right,
to feel his heartbeat, you know, just to hold him every day and to dream about how great he will be on the, you know, on this earth. His name is Solomon Cole Jackson, mm-hmm, after Wise King.
Nice, so, nice.
Yes, yes.
Beautiful.
Just him being here. Mm-hmm.
Do you want any more, or are you one and done?
Ooh, Lord Jesus. Well, you know, he is only about 5 weeks old, and right now he's not sleeping. So, you know, give us a, you know, about 6 months to a year and then ask me that question.
I know that's right. I know that was too soon. I would hate for somebody to ask me that after 5 weeks. My bad, sis. You know I mean well.
So, you know, everyone asks, so I guess, you know what? It's all good.
It's all good. Well, I'm so prayerful. I'm so thankful that you had a healthy baby, and that just to watch it all play out on Facebook and your baby shower was just beautiful. I've been a fan of yours for so long.
I've been a fan of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Candace. Thank you, Doc. I appreciate that. Well, we echo the sentiments for one another. How about
yes,
that?
Yes, we do. Yes,
I love
we
it.
Do.
I love it. Well, Doctor.
Black girl magic.
All day long. Fam, you magic all day long.
Yes.
Candace, thank you so much. How can people find you? Maybe if they're in your area, maybe come by and say, hey, if you need a new patient, how can they find you?
Yes. So if they're looking for a primary care doctor who will do things differently and really promote disease prevention and living healthier lifestyles, they can come see me at Lathonia Primary Care. And if you Google it, it'll come right up. Just Google Dr. Candace White, that's CandaceWhite at Lathonia Primary Care.
Nice.
And then on my Instagram, I mean, I haven't really gotten into that whole social media scene yet. However, it is coming. I keep being pestered about it.
Yes.
That is in the makes in my website. But as of now, I'm only on Instagram at rockdocsnatural.com.
Okay.
Yes.
Rockdocsnatural.com.
Yeah, ROC, rockdocs, DOCS, natural. Instagram, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great, yeah. Great. Well, Candace, thank you so much. Again, I appreciate your time today. Continued success on everything. And you let me know whatever you have going on. You know I'm here to support you.
Thank you, and vice versa. I'm just so proud of you. You make us proud. So thank you for all you do and for having me on your podcast today.
My absolute pleasure.
Hello, my name is Dr. Candace White Jackson. I am a primary care physician, and I am a cool soror of the Beta Alpha chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated.
Ooh.